world, where action films are dumped in theaters and TV, dead on arrival.
I can't go on living this lie!
You need a hero.
Last time I trusted someone, I lost an eye.
You need a helper.
Hello, hello, nothing to see here.
You need a healer.
That is affirmative.
You need...
We're on the air.
Professor Rick's Action Film Autopsy.
And tell... Please tell these people, rather than me tell them who you are, I want to know, tell them who you are.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. It's New York City. Good excuse, right? Thank you all, first of all, for being here. I'm very, very honored that I'm here, and thanks to many of you who invited me to get this wonderful award. Let me just tell you first why I'm here. I was the only female president of actually Bruce Lee's company in Hong Kong in 71 to 73. I normally don't tell the dates because then it's going to really, you're going to sit there and say, how old is she? But it's okay, I'm proud of it. But I have to start a little bit with how I got the position and my job before, I think will be more interesting for you to know. Just a little Reader's Digest history so you kind of know a little bit more about me, because they're working on a TV series on my life and a movie. Ooh. And a book. So you could actually say you met Lucia Kaiser here. Anyway, I started out my beginning year, both my mother and father. Are you getting an echo?
Okay.
Is it okay?
Okay, you're good.
My mother and father were born in Sicily, Messina, Sicily, and actually they were immigrating to New York, and I was born in the middle of the ocean, coming from Sicily to New York. So I already started out with a very interesting story, and we were raised in the Bronx, and I always had a...
Always a phone, right?
Okay, yeah, always a phone.
Go ahead.
I always had... ambition as even a young girl, but what really gave me the ambition to really be successful, it's going to sound crazy to all of you, but it's part of my life, is my mother, from a Roman Catholic Italian family, became a Jehovah's Witness when I was like 7 or 8 years old. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses that sell the watchshells and wicks. So in those years, she forced me to go on the street and sell the magazines in the cold weather.
Oh.
Yes.
Better than selling something.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was, as even a little girl, saying I wanted to go to Hawaii when I was 7, 8 years old. Because a lot of people said, how'd you end up in Hawaii for 23 years? This is the beginning of my story. So I was determined to become successful. And fortunately, I was smart. And I kind of looked pretty good. That was a key, too, in those years. Well, I think in any year. And I was a dancer. I was a natural dancer. So I was always surrounded by older people. And when I was 14 years old, one of my friends said, there's a audition for a... It was a very famous show. I'm not going to mention it right now. Certain people might know it in those days, where they featured Sammy Davis Jr., Dionne Warwick, and there were three dancers, and I became one of them at 14 years old.
Oh.
And we were dancing in a cage I had the go-go boots and the you know, ponytail. This all leads into Bruce Lee, by the way.
Awesome.
Okay.
Shindig? Was it Shindig or was the other?
Close. Hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo. Hullabaloo.
Okay, you got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Well, I knew it.
And
was.
Actually, Sammy Davis Jr. at 14, when I was 14, became my first mentor. I had ID that I was 21. I was still in high school. I graduated when I was 15, and I saved up all the money when I was on this dance show. And I got a ticket to Honolulu when I was 15 years old, and I ran away from the Bronx, went to Hawaii, called my parents. They almost had a heart attack because they didn't have the money to come get me in Hawaii. And I ended up becoming a professional surfer. So, I mean, I just wanted to give you the little history. Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, then I ended up competing. It was, you know, in those days, it was like the chicks with the chicks, and, you know, I won several competitions. And then I was one of the women invited to, I wasn't really even a woman then, I was a girl, invited to compete with the men. And a few of them were not too happy about that. So one of them actually this leads into why I got the job with Johnny Carson. Okay.
We got, we got more.
Yes.
What did I tell you? Go ahead.
So, one of the guys purposely rammed his surfboard into me, and I ended up in emergency hospital, broken leg, broken foot, and a pretty messed up leg. And by then I was in Hawaii about 10 months. And I thought, you know, I think it might be time to go back to New York. And I go back, you know, with crutches, and all I knew is I wanted to be in the entertainment world. I had no ambition to be an actor. I really didn't know I was a producer, but I knew I wanted to be in the entertainment world. So I end up back in New York, and I'm looking for a job. And I was, as I said, pretty smart, and I was dating this guy that worked for Johnny Carson, that was a cameraman. And I just met him. I mean, we're, you know, dating, went out a few times. Anyway, so I ended up begging him to get me in just for any position, an intern, anything. He said, well, can you type? And I said, no, but, you know, I'm smart and I look good. You know, what else do you want? And I'm a professional surfer. So, long story short, he ends up getting me the interview. It was the lowest form of the intern. It was the girl who brought the coffee to the secretary, who's the executive secretary to Carson. But the good news is, fortunately, because a few of you might have seen my younger pictures. I don't know, maybe not. I think Leon saw my younger pictures. Yeah. Okay. I don't mean to brag, but. Okay. So, fortunately, the way I looked and the hair down here, and you know.
Yeah.
I don't have a
Bruce Lee. We have to get to Bruce Lee. To Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So I ended up, Johnny Carson interviewed me. And I'm going to speed this up now. He came in, he interviewed me for 4 hours, and I ended up being his intern for a year. And in 1 year, at 19 years old, I was the first woman in management for Johnny Carson. I was the booker on the show, which was the most powerful position, executive position. They never had a woman do that. Okay, so now my credentials go on. I'm with him for 5 years. I've met everybody you can imagine. I booked, like, the legends. You know, Steve McQueen taught me how to ride a motorcycle, and I booked Burt Lancaster, and Sammy Davis Jr. became a lifelong friend. Burt Lancaster, Tony Curtis. Lifelong friends. I'm a people collector, as Leon knows. So I wasn't a lifer, and I ended up, because that's, we have to get to Bruce Lee, and I apologize.
Don't worry. This is awesome.
Okay.
This is incredible stuff.
We ended up, I also was a Revlon lipstick girl in those days, too. My face was on the 42nd Street billboard. So I was making more money as that, thank you, as a Revlon lipstick girl than for Johnny Carson. But he was very respectful, and there was no sexual harassment with Johnny Carson.
Yeah,
let me tell you. No, I just want to say that, because that's very important. And I'm going to talk about that with Bruce Lee. Total gentleman. This is, you know, so it's important.
Yeah.
So I was offered a position, and the money kept getting better. And I was, I knew then I wanted to be, I was kind of thinking I'm going to be a producer, which is what I became, you know, a TV producer. And I ended up getting an offer to be the president of the first old women's advertising agency in New York. So I left Johnny Carson, and I ran that company for a year. But the guy was a complete alcoholic, and unfortunately, all the great women that started the company, it just went down. So I took all my money and I went on a trip to Europe. And I end up, but I always had great credentials. And then I ran a smaller studio, it was called Studio Film Exchange. It was a distribution company. So that's why I was qualified with Bruce Lee. So then something else happened, which is not, you know, too much too long of a story to go. And I left that company. But as I said, I went along and I always collected great references, you know, from Johnny Carson, and I had all my, and even from individual people. Even those years, I was smart enough to get character references. You know, those years, you didn't even get that. So I always brought it on a trip wherever I went. I decided to go to Hong Kong. I get off the plane, literally, when I tell you, Leon knows this, I fell in love with this city. I said, I have to live here, I have to live in Hong Kong. I was like a crazy person.
That was, so, what, 1971?
71.
Okay.
And so I went to see a boyfriend, actually. And this German boyfriend took me to a party in 3 days. where it turned out that I didn't think he was real, a gentleman who turned out to be the CFO of Bruce Lee's company. He was an older man. He was 37 at the time. You know, for me, I was in my, 20s. And, I thought he was a dirty old man because I kept saying, I have to live here, I have to live here. He says, I might have a position for you, because I told him about my background. And he was fascinated. He picked me up the next day, in his Rolls Royce, in those days, And I didn't know it was Bruce Lee, you have to realize. I go to this day, probably one of the most awesome conference rooms and offices that we've ever seen. I don't know if any of you still, she's not born or whatever, I don't know. And I'm walking and I'm seeing all these posters of Bruce Lee, but the name is not Bruce Lee. But I'm not really thinking about this. So I sit down and the secretary says, what would you like to drink? And this is really a funny part of the story. And I, jokingly, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, even though I was young, I always had expensive taste. And I said, I'd like to have a glass of Cristal champagne. I swear to you, in 10 minutes, a Baccarat bucket comes out with a whole bottle of Cristal champagne. I said, this is my kind of company. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, who goes to a job interview and gets Cristal champagne? So, next few minutes, the gentleman, his name is Bruce Ward, the CFO, walks in, and behind him, because Bruce was much shorter, is Bruce Lee. Now, you have to realize, I was very lucky, and I've always been very blessed in my life not to be intimidated. I was kind of like you're born with it. I've always had confidence, thank goodness, and I've never allowed anybody to say I can't do something. But I tell you, I saw Bruce Lee, and I was like, whoa, and then I realized where I was. So what ends up happening is 4 hours of interview. Amazing, very brilliant, brilliant man. Because I want to talk about Bruce Lee. I don't know how much time I have.
So. You have as much time as you want.
You have 25 minutes, darling.
Okay, good. Okay, I didn't know.
Take it all.
Okay, thank you. And obviously, they made copies of my references, and obviously they, must have checked it out. And obviously they could easily take care of the visa problem. And all of a sudden, literally, when I tell you, I don't know exactly, but it was like a week or 2 weeks, a week and a half, something like that. Bruce Lee's assistant called and requested my presence and told me in person that I'm going to be president of the company.
Wow.
I mean, it was unbelievable. He kind of hinted, thank you. But think about it, in those years, and I must say, because I have a lot of, Chinese friends, of course, living in Hong Kong for 2 years, and I've also spent a lot of time in Japan. I never lived in Japan. I mean, my love was Hong Kong, of course, for 2 years, but, right? In those years, especially a woman in the world, the man's, especially in those years. So you can imagine. But I also had to work triple and make sure that I don't screw up and that I didn't want them saying a woman can't do it. Oh, she's fired in 3 months. So obviously it was a very successful undertaking. He was an amazing human being. He had so much philosophy that I learned throughout the years. I was trying to quote some things, and I'm sorry, I've had a very rough day today, a little bit. That's why I was a little bit late. I learned so much from him. And then, since I was a surfer, and I had also become a water skiing champion for a while, for a minute too, and I was very athletic and a dancer when I was young, I said to him, I'd like to learn martial arts, but I only want to learn it from you. And people who know me for many, many years, were shocked when I told them, and I would have been probably more than, I became a brown belt. And Mr. Lee taught me himself. So it was extraordinary. I mean, it was one of the most extraordinary 2 years of my life. It was a very glamorous position, but it was very exhausting because of, making sure I was on my game. And I had the life it sounds like I had the life of luxury, but I did and I didn't. You know, he moved me into a beautiful mansion in Kowloon, and I had a 24-hour driver. And, you know, for a girl from the Bronx, it was pretty good. And, but on the other hand, and I had an expense account, and I was doing very well, but I also was working triple the hours that probably just to make sure that I did everything right. And I was very excited to, I'm very excited to tell you, and I, you know, it's funny I didn't think about this because I had to think about, you know, it's been a long time, that Enter the Dragon, I was the one who negotiated with Warner Brothers. And that was it. Yeah, I know. You know what? I didn't even remember that, and most of my friends don't even know that story. And it's funny because I'll be on the radio. I'll be on a national radio show this Thursday, and I'm going to, you know, talk about a little bit. And I'm going to bring that up because I completely forgot until I was, you know, doing some thinking this weekend what would be interesting for everyone to hear. So that was a pretty amazing situation. Now, the only reason I left. 3 months before Bruce died. And let me explain to you why. And then I'm sure there might be questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I had the life, and I must say this as part of it, because this has to do with the reason I didn't go back to Hong Kong with the man I fell in love with. I went to Europe on a vacation, and I went to Germany because I had a bunch of... I spoke German, and, you know, I had, for some reason, Italians and Germans, or Italians and Irish, we had, you know, I had always German boyfriends when I was growing up. So I went to see someone to surprise them in Munich, and that's how I ended up falling in love with Stefan Kaiser. That's why my name is Kaiser. I've kept the Kaiser name. My maiden name, just so you know, is Sandra Lucia Francini. So, and Bruce used to call me Santa Lucia. He was so cute. But the way he pronounced it was funny. I can't do it the way he did it. It was so cute. I mean, it's Santa, oh, Santa Lucia. You know, I mean, I couldn't do it. I wish I had it on tape with the, you know. And so I go to Munich, and I fall in love with this man, literally. Last thing I wanted to do, and I always said I was probably the only Italian woman in the world who, number one, still doesn't cook, number two, didn't want to get married. Last thing in my mind, and didn't want to, I love my job, I love my life in Hong Kong, and I had 11 boyfriends. That's the point of the story. I was a hot commodity. You know, when I say boyfriends, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know. So, whatever.
People you date.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, I'm taking
that's all right. I enjoy it.
So anyway, what ended up happening is I called Bruce. I mean, I literally fell head over heels and ended up living in Munich 3 years. And I told him what happened. And this is the class act Bruce Lee was. Unbelievable. First of all, he said, it's ridiculous. You have to come here with your fiance, your husband, whatever, Stefan. I said, Bruce, I have to remind you, remember how many friends I have? I don't think it's an ideal situation to bring a man that I just fell in love with. And, you know, so I officially resigned, but this is the class act he was. After he couldn't talk me into coming back, he sent all my clothing, all my jewelry, everything, first class to Munich. Hmm. And of course, gave me the most extraordinary recommendation. And then he died 3 months later.
Wow.
I mean, I to this day, I don't even want to think about it because it's funny because in those days we didn't have paparazzi like we have today. Thank God. Somehow, some way, I don't know how this happened. They tracked me down because the people in Hong Kong, of course, I was, you know, quite famous. And they found out I was in Munich. And a few days after this happened, and I was devastated because, of course, everyone called me and I couldn't even believe this. I was in shock. To this day, I'm still in shock. I have my own, you know, I won't go into it, but I have my own interpretation. I've never talked about it.
Go into it.
Okay. Well, let me just say,
yeah.
Come out of the apartment house, and all of a sudden there's cameras, not like it is today, by the way,
right.
But, you know, a few cameras, and someone's shoving a microphone saying, So do you think he was murdered? And I'm thinking, who are you? It was the German press. And I'm thinking, and my poor husband was very shy. I mean, imagine Matt being married to me, this poor guy. And, you know, he was a physicist, like you. The last thing he wanted was publicity. And we couldn't even figure out to this day. And basically, I didn't answer any of them. You know, but imagine if it was, I mean, it's not today.
Yeah.
It would be like millions of people all over. I wouldn't be able to even, well.
Go into it. Do your best.
Okay, I mean, this is just, it's my theory, but it's also people that are in the know, okay? That's all I can say, because I usually don't talk about this, even to some of my close friends. I haven't, you know. I don't believe about the aneurysm, the heart aneurysm. And, you know, there were all sorts of theories. There was one about a prostitute that poisoned him. There was one about the Tyrants or, you know, the mafia.
Triads, yeah.
The Triads, I'm sorry. And then there was another one about the, believe it or not, not the Sicilian particularly, but the Italian mob killed him because he wouldn't get into give them money. And
right.
It was all these rumors. But I truly believe it was a Chinese mob. And I truly believe that. And I don't know exactly, you know, I don't want to go into too much of that, but I truly believe, honestly, this is going to come out one day. I'm shocked that no one else has come out with it, but I truly believe that.
There were a lot of rumors at the time that he was having headaches, that he was needing drugs and all the rest. Did you see any sign of that?
The headaches, yeah.
Headaches, yeah.
Yeah, I would tell you he was having, but that was also from a lot of the physical. I mean, he was, you know, I mean, the guy was, yeah, but I didn't, to be honest with you, I've been asked that question many times. And believe me, I was with him. When I was working, we were together, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that I think his wife was pissed off because she never saw him as much as I saw him, Linda, poor Linda.
Yeah.
But no, I never, ever, ever saw him, any sign of drugs, mm-hmm. any sign of steroids or any of this stuff. That, no, ever, ever, ever. He was a real health nut.
Yeah.
I mean, at least unless he had two different personalities.
But you saw the one that you saw.
The one I saw, I'm telling you.
That's the big difference because of everyone here. You're the only one who knew him.
Yeah.
You're the only one who met him. What? Just tell us some things just that we don't know that you know.
Oh.
About him.
Well, he had a very funny sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of who I could compare him to today. It was almost like a black sense of humor, not a Richard Pryor.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thanks.
You're right. That's a good one. I like that. No, because I was trying to think if I brought this up. He was actually very humorous. People didn't, because he'd be very serious with the camera, with the press, and with students. He was very, very serious.
Uh-huh.
And maybe. I'm not taking credit for this, please, but I have a way of opening up people. You know, I mean, it's a gift you have or you don't have it. I mean, people tell me things, I met them 5 minutes, they'll tell me about I'm having, you know, an affair with someone. I mean, I had a heart attack the other day, I didn't tell my wife. Saying that, but I'm not just saying that. People tell me the oddest things. So he was very open with me, I think more so, because I actually said to him once, how come you're not like you are with me, like the way with other people? He says, because they're not you.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I saw, I think, a lot of times a different side of him than maybe other people did. I always told people he was very funny. He was very, very, very supportive of women. Think about that. Women in power. I mean, think about it. In those years, again, I'm going to stress it. I mean, I'm shocked to this day that I'm even talking about this, that I would have run his company.
Yeah.
I mean, a full responsibility. I mean, even though I was, thank God I had a high IQ and I was qualified with the things I did, but also I learned a lot on, you know, being there. You know, I always absorb like a sponge, so. I didn't know everything. I made mistakes. I was far from perfect. And he was cool with it, you know? I don't remember what happened, but I made a big boo-boo at some point. I made some wrong decision. I can't tell you exactly because I can't remember. But I went to him and I actually told him. And he was like, you didn't have to tell me. He says, I forgive you. You know what I mean? Yes.
And if you see it, I'm curious, because obviously Back in the 70s, especially with Chinese, we believe women belong in a kitchen.
I know.
So the fact that Bruce Lee accepted you is a mark of the great man that he is.
Right.
Okay. But how did his other entourage and the Chinese in particular accept a woman at such a high, powerful position next to Bruce Lee?
That's a very good question. That's a great question. I'm glad you brought it up. They did not accept me, but they tolerated me because Bruce had an iron fist. And I had some problems, and I didn't even want to say, so not sexual harassment, but in a way it was sexual. I mean, it wasn't like pushing me or anything like that, but it was verbal, you know, harassment and snide remarks and, you know, total disrespect. And I had eventually say something to him, and he apparently put a stop to it because, but there was still, they were nice to my face, but behind my back, I was never accepted, except with him, his close friends, and family. But the majority, absolutely not. They could not permit a woman. They couldn't even believe a woman was in this position. You
got other questions?
What about Raymond Chow? Because Raymond Chow was his partner in Concord, right?
Did you deal with him?
No. You never dealt with him?
Not really. I mean, I met him. What were you going to ask me?
Oh, because I was going to say, you know, certain videos came out after Bruce died where, you know, Raymond Chow was producing Bruce Lee, the Legend, and stuff like that. And I'm saying, you know, I was wondering how close he actually was to Bruce Lee, whether Bruce trusted him or you know, because producers, no offense, sometimes
no, I know. No, you're right. You're right. Especially in Hollywood. That's why you keep calling me Miss Hollywood. I personally don't like that title because I'm really down to earth. I hope you see that. But I know. And I know what you mean, and that's a compliment. I can't really answer that. I have to tell you, I don't think they were that close. But I really didn't deal with him. You know, I met him, but I don't think
no.
so.
All you need to know yeah. about Raymond Chow is that he made Game of Death. That's all you need
yeah,
to know about
true.
It.
Yeah, that's true.
He betrayed Bruce rather aggressively.
That's
so that's all
I
you
know.
Need to know. Any other questions? Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more about training under him? Like what kind of teacher?
Training under him?
Oh, training. Oh, brutal. That's the part I was hoping you'd not ask, because to this day I feel pain whenever anyone asks me that question. I have never in my life had black and blue marks all over my body. Oof. I had to wear long sleeves, just because it's just he was the best. I mean, let's put it this way. I think certainly he was the best, but I've never had. Imagine, you know, maybe. Actually, that's not true. In Hawaii, the Gracie brothers I met, and friends of mine were trained by the Gracie brothers, and they said, they were like a walk in the park compared to Bruce Lee. So,
were you a private student, or did you work in a class?
No, I was a private student.
Oh, boy.
And so he was harder on me, I'm sure, than anyone else. And by the way, I quit 5,000 times. but he wouldn't let me. He made me persevere, and I'm glad because I can actually be proud of saying that, what I told you. Because if I had quit, I couldn't tell you. And by the way, it saved my life a few times, too.
Oh, really? Awesome. Ooh.
As we all know, we're not supposed to use our hands, but I told my friend Kathy, just a real quick situation. This happened 7 years ago in New York. I moved back from Hawaii because my husband passed away, and I lived. But we had a very wonderful, incredible life, and I moved here to pursue, you know, continue my television and film. 6-7 years ago, I met this guy, and, you know, I'm single, so, and he was a good-looking guy, and I forgot, it was one of the, it was the Peninsula Hotel, how could I forget?
Oh.
Anyway, so he conveniently had a room upstairs, and, you know, I liked him, and, you know, I have a beautiful bottle of champagne, see, it's the champagne that we'll get there.
Yeah, champagne.
Now you guys know. And to go up, and he was like 6'6", and I'm only 5'7". And this guy lunged to me and tried to rape me. And I have not done this in a long time. I got him on the floor and whipped his ass. Excuse my language. And I swear to God, I left him and I put my heel, my stiletto heel, I'm not wearing them today, but I put my stiletto heel in his chest and said, you will not do this to another woman again. And I said, thank you, Bruce Lee. I swear to God, I walked out. What was that?
Well, I was going to say what you were saying before. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that you were showing so much disrespect, you know, behind the scenes, but it didn't really much change. I mean, 20 years later, when I'm doing a film in Hong Kong, and I'm half Chinese, and I was shown the same disrespect.
Really?
I wasn't accepted. And so, not in the beginning. I mean, they put us, the few Westerners that were there, about half a dozen of us, I mean, they put us through the ringer.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we had to...
How long ago was this?
Chinese sure. say we had to eat bitter. I mean,
early 90s.
Before we gained any respect, I mean, they would... humiliate us. I mean, there's some stories I can tell
wow.
you on the film set.
And you're a man.
I moved there in 1988.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long story.
And it wasn't, it took like 4 or 5 years before finally I got respect. But it took that long.
Oh my God.
Any other questions? Questions? Yeah. No other questions?
You mentioned, you negotiated the contract for Enter the Dragon. Did you actually work credit with any other of the production of Bruce Lee, like, you know, Fist of Fury? Were you involved?
No. The most, it was Enter the Dragon. That was strict. I mean, I was involved a little bit on the back end, but not the way I was with this. This was the big negotiation and. Yeah.
So from 71 to 73, Bruce was ascending at that point.
Yes.
I mean, he had done the big boss.
Yes, exactly.
Doing Fist of Fury.
Exactly.
Did you see how the city changed for him and for you?
To be honest, a little bit, but not. I didn't know. Not really.
He was still Kato.
How many years?
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, and I mean, in a way, I'm grateful that I fell in love and moved, because I don't think I could have taken that. My heart couldn't take it. I really loved him. Oh. I mean, you know, as a human being,
yeah.
Not as a. I mean, I loved him as a man, as a person. He was just a genuine. It's just tragic that such a great man would die that young.
Yes.
I
want to know some of the movies that they said that he was using electrodes to.
No, not that I swear, not that I've been asked that before. I've heard that before. No, I mean, not that I know of.
Nothing.
And I would have known, seriously.
Well, I think he said electrode, not steroids.
Not steroids.
Yeah, electrical pulses.
You would put electrical pulses to try to make it punch faster, I suppose.
No, not the film that I was working on, no. Maybe previous to me. I don't want, you know what I mean? That
in
could
private
be.
Private or something, yeah.
Possibly, yeah, or in private, but if it was, I didn't see it, you know.
I did hear that, you know, with electrodes on your brain, and you're not being spotted by a doctor doing that, bad things to do.
Yeah, but she saw no evidence of it.
I didn't really see, except for the headaches. But I had headaches too, and I was really young, and I had headaches because my body was bruised from the workout, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course he would have headaches. I mean, I'm just saying.
Is there any concluding or any questions? We only have 2 more minutes before we move on to the next phase. This was absolutely awesome.
Oh,
it was so great
you.
To meet you.
I'm so happy.
Do you have anything to... Thank you for the rest of the panelists as well. Is there anything you want to tell them, how to get in touch or anything else?
The last thing. Oh, hi, Tom. You missed my whole thing.
She was great.
My cousin just shows up.
Hey.
Anyway, I do, my website is my name, you know, http://www.luciakaiser.com. I do want to, can I end it?
Please.
Because you're not all going to be here, right?
What do you mean?
Later.
No, maybe not. Maybe, yeah.
Okay, because if you're not, I'm going to... I have someone special coming, but I'd rather wait till I get the award to say who it is. But there are two TV shows that... one I can tell you about right now. thanks to Todd Volpe, my partner, who is, he's written a book called Framed. We have an extraordinary contract with Jay-Z, David Unger, and 20th Century Fox of $100 million to produce a TV series. It's based on his life story, and it's going to expose the world of corruption, and I'm the lead producer. That's going to be in the works, and it's going to be in New York. The other one I want to wait to announce, and then we're going to do the film, Terrence Winter, who wrote The Wolf of Wall Street.
Sopranos, he worked on a lot of
Todd, actually, that was before I got involved, paid him almost $1 million to write the script, the movie script. So we'll eventually be doing the movie, too. And then, as I said, my series is called Caged Obsession. It's kind of on hold right now, but it's based on my life story, but it's focused on when I escaped from sex trafficking in Egypt.
Oh, my God.
I know. So you don't want to get me started on that one.
Actually, I kind of do.
Yes,
yeah.
Darling. Yes.
When they made the movie on your life, who do you want to play Bruce Lee?
Oh.
You?
Oh.
Of course, Leon.
Oh, Leon.
How could I not want you?
Leon. Whatever you said, Lucia.
I have all these witnesses now.
There you go.
Bruce Lee's dad.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, he was good. He was a Tai Chi.
Actually, look at the haircut.
Yeah, really.
Look at him. You could.
Well, thank you so much, everybody,
thank
and thank you.
You.
Oh, thank you. Can I be able to use this on my
podcast? Oh, yeah, let's do photos.
We're going to take a photo.
Photos.
Do you have
to use your blinkers, jackass?
Okay, break it up. Break it up. For now.
You don't give up, do you?
Listen in next time for more Film Fun, Frenzy, and Friends. Until then, check out actionfilmautopsy.com where the excitement never ends.
An honor, victory.